T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You are locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Back to the phone calls, many of them passionate here so far on Ken and Fitzy in just a moment. This hour of Ken and Fitzy brought to you by Eagle Bank. But before we do get back to the phone calls, Fitzy, what a week for you. Texters were raving about your Bradford imitation impersonation on Wednesday, some calling it the funniest you've been on the Greg Hill show.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I even saw some people tweet at me earlier, Ken, and say I might be getting a handle on this comedy thing and that maybe I should stick around for a while.
Now, the real Rob Bradford joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Bradford, are you concerned this is now Fitzy's meal ticket and this will never go away?
Hello, Rob Bradford here.
Hello, Rob Bradford here.
I feel like this is the opportune time to do the top five things that are the best things at WEEI, don't you, fellas?
This is probably a great time. Top five things.
Okay.
Number one, Ken Laird's columns.
No. Come on, 50. Don't you know anything about lists? Let's go. Number five, 15th morning mashup. Number four, Ken's column. Number three, Boom Sauce. Number two, WEEI.com. And number one, of course, this Rob Bradford being the editor of WEEI.com. Go to WEEI.com for more lists. The Bradford Show podcast. Fitzy, I want you surfacing that by 6 o'clock.
Can I be wearing my Gold's distinctive clothing, Rob Bradford? The thing is, I said during the show earlier this week that you never make fun of and you only roast or have fun with people you love or respect, because otherwise across. No.
Don't let it get sappy now.
No. What? Okay, sorry about that, Ken. Top five reasons why you roast people.
But look, it'll come across as mean. By Tuesday.
But think about this. You know, Bradford, I'll just say this. The idea is, like, you've got enough, like, ticks and you know, like, character traits and whatever else that you could actually sort of, like, give voice and birth to a living Saturday Night Live character. Like, you're a persona. You're more than just somebody who, you know.
I do. That is accurate. I do have a body full of ticks. That is absolutely accurate.
I told you,
we need laughs, right? And yes. And God bless you guys for the coronavirus updates, and we've had, like, ton of Drew Brees things all week, and you know, it's been a tough week, man. And I tell you what, I drove around that day, I was laughing my butt off. That was pretty funny. It was good stuff.
All right, good to hear. So you're not upset? Fitzy's not the...
No, I told you, and if you did tell him I was upset, you'd be lying, because I said, what did I say to you, Ken? I said I was happy for Fitzy, because I thought it was a great thing. It was the wheelhouse.
But you seemed down. You seemed generally down. Maybe it was just everything going on in the world that week.
This just in on WEEI.com. Report, Bradford not genuine in his interview with Fitzy and Ken Laird about his feelings.
Top five things that got Bradford down this week.
Number five, baseball can't get its head out of its keister. Four, Fitzy's impersonation. While you're here too, is there any point in baseball coming back? And B, what role do you, I mean, seriously, and if they do, now obviously we just heard from Roger Goodell, I busted his footballs over the fact that it was such a prompter read, rote delivery of a predictable speech, you know, that was brought upon by his players taking action. His prominent black players taking action this week. What role do you think baseball can play in trying to heal this great racial divide?
Well, you know, listen, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that the thing that I don't think anyone really wants to mention, and in some respects, it's not really fair to mention because there are people in baseball who have spoken out and done things. I know that, you know, for instance, Mookie Betts had a post. I know that Jackie Bradley's offering to donate to the NAACP, you know, so there's a ton of people. But at the same time, the baseball is the least political sport of any of the sports. That's irrefutable. And so when you talk about the healing and the moving the needle forward with all of this, it's not going to be the same as football. It's just not. And by the way, just to have the backdrop now of why all this is going on, of these two sides bickering on the side of the road, it's a terrible look. It's just, it's awful. And, you know, I look at baseball now, and you ask the question, 50, do people care? Do they want baseball back? I know that I want baseball back, if for no other reasons that I know for a lot of people whose livelihood depends on it. And I'm not talking about the people playing on the field. Like, this is a very real thing. You shut down baseball for as long as some people are talking about it being shut down, it's going to impact so many lives. And that's obviously like a terrible, terrible thing. And I wrote a thing about this yesterday. I give much credit for it. This is like the two sides, the two back and forth sides of this, whereas you can't have one owner, not one single owner, do anything like Robert Kraft did in 2011, where you reach across the aisle and you make peace even a little bit. And you go down that list of owners, you tell me which owner is going to do that, because I can tell you right now, none of them will. Rob Manfred is the CEO of baseball. He's going to speak for the owners, and nobody's going to break ranks from him, and that's a problem.
Well, are they going to play this, as they called it, quote-unquote, bastard season, this 50-game season? Is that going to happen in August or no?
No, I think it's pretty, to me, and I don't know why more people aren't saying this, to me it's not complicated. The owners have no timetable. The owners can play this out as long as they want. They're in no rush. Because all of a sudden you're gonna get a couple weeks down the road or a month down the road. Oh, all we have is a time to play a 50-game season. We don't have time to play an 80-game season, a 100-game season. So that's all you have. And then the players are sitting there and saying, we want to do something. We want to play somewhere. And all we have is this time for 50 or 60 games. Owners win. Like, that's how I view the owners, like, spot in things right now. The owners, I think, have the upper hand. There's no question about it. They don't have to move off of this at all. And so when you ask, are they going to play? I mean, if they are going to play, it's certainly not going to be anything close to the 114 games that they're talking about. And I don't think it's going to be anything close to July 4th.
Right. Well, that's done. Yeah.
No, that's, oh, God, that's ridiculous. And calling it a bastard season, oh, poor you, baseball. Speaking of which, though, have we gotten Blake Snell's feelings on Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, well, but do you guys disagree with me? I mean, I've written this before, is that, you know, baseball is the least political sport of them all. And you know, I think it's a couple things. And I think, number one, I think baseball, more than the other sports, lean a certain way when it comes to when they actually do talk politics. It's not the way that football and basketball leans. And also, these guys are around each other so much, more than they are their families. So you don't bring up politics in the clubhouse, because when you bring up politics in the clubhouse, it's something that you're going to have to live with and argue about, like, every single day when you walk in that clubhouse. So I think they go out of the way a lot of times not to talk about it, and I think that's one of the reasons why we don't see it being very political.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez talked about guns once, and it was like the people were stunned like that he said anything. I mean,
And look at, you know, Curt Schilling would probably be case in point of, here's example A of, I mean, now granted, Curt Schilling is an island of sometimes unhinged political views unto himself, but you know, anytime Curt Schilling, after they win the World Series, goes on Good Morning America the next morning and says, vote Bush. And people went bananas because they never hear stuff like that. Like a full throated endorsement of a presidential candidate that was a sitting president at the time. That was wild. And obviously, well, he's almost been blackballed since.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's true. And it's sort of like, you know, it's almost the same thing. Tim Thomas was the same thing. But clearly, you know, Kurt has very, very polarizing views, but he's out there. He's out there, and he would be head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of a political voice. Think about when they initially had the Kaepernick thing. One guy kneeled,
Like, one guy, a backup catcher, Brooks Maxwell of the A's. Like, that's it. And I might be wrong, but I don't remember even the linking. Maybe they had linked the arms or anything else, but nobody wanted to talk about it. You walk into a clubhouse and you talk about this stuff, like, people cringe. Because they just, it's because it's awkward. It's awkward that you have too much time around each other having to debate this stuff. And if you don't agree, then it becomes really, really awkward. Where, think about it in football. I mean, football is, you show up, it's a 9-to-5 job pretty for the most part. You're broke up into groups. You don't have to deal with that corner of the room or that corner of the room. It's nothing like baseball. And so I think that that's one thing we have to sort of factor in here.
That's a good point, because, I mean, even the NHL, as white as the NHL is, how about the statement from Zdeno Chara overnight and the Patrice Bergeron earlier in the week? So you've got and significant players in the NHL speaking out, almost nobody in baseball, right?
Well, if they are, they're doing it sort of under the radar. I mean, yeah. We haven't, like I said, I can't say that there hasn't been any. Like I mentioned a couple that I know of, but none that are certainly going to grab the headlines. There are always going to be a couple, but it's just not the same. And with baseball as a whole, you know, what are you doing baseball? Like, we're talking about Goodell getting out there and having that scripted, whatever video of him. Well, like, what is Rob Manfred doing? You know, it's like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing to be proactive other than maybe just doing a, hey, PR people, put together something and put it out there to cover ourselves? I don't know if that's the case, but that's sort of how it feels. And, you know, we're talking about with baseball are millionaires and billionaires arguing. We aren't talking about any of this stuff about not paying minor leaguers. We certainly aren't talking about these guys, how some of these guys are trying to fix the world.
Top five ways the NFL could protest in the fall, other than kneeling during the anthem.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. By the way, did you listen to the interview yesterday? Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
That's all right. I can probably go on the radio.com app and use the rewind feature.
Nate Boyer. That was excellent.
Top five things that Nate Boyer said. Number one, and number one only, you know, when Glenn asked a good question, you know, at the end, when he says, would you kneel? And he's like, no. And he's like, no, I wouldn't kneel, but I understand why people wouldn't. And they said, well, isn't that what Drew Brees said? And it was very, very awkward. I mean, it was very, very awkward. But that's
although Brees didn't really say that. Brees said, "I'll never understand why anyone kneels." Right? He didn't say.
Right,
I understand.
He was painting. He was painting with a much broader brush.
Correct.
But again, that's a whole other conversation. I think it was like, you know, wrong thing to say certainly, and the wrong thing to say at the wrong time certainly. You know, twice as much. So. It's like you said at the beginning of this, you know, we need more Bradford top five lists, because this other stuff is, it's important. It's exhausting too. I mean, you guys are on the Greg Hill show every morning, almost every morning. And it's, you know, like I said, when I was driving around, it was good to laugh. We need more laughter, right?
There you go. Yeah. That's the endorsement.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's all I needed right there, Bradfo. I can soldier on. I've been exonerated and empowered at the same time.
Well, top five protest marches I will be immersing myself in. Number one is the next one. I do kind of feel like I have been negligent in not doing one. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I don't know if Ken, like, I know that you took the first step forward in going in Cranes Beach the other day and being around people. But, you know, I see, like, you know, Chara out there, like, I'm like, okay, you know, like, I think it's, like, my son went to one in Pittsburgh the other day. I was proud of him for that. And so, you know, I think if you get past the coronavirus stuff, I think that's important to keep on doing that stuff.
All right, we'll look forward to the Instagram Live from the Bradfo protest. And thanks for the Cranes Beach pass. That was excellent.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I know that you bought a Cranes Beach pass and you went there and you had a great time. Yeah. Yes, it was good. It was like your wife, you know, your wife and child are like, I wanted to live at my house off. I don't know, like they're being held hostage by you. I actually wanted to get them on the side and say, are you okay? I mean, it was always good to see them. And, so you guys are doing a great job. I would have, if I was going to redo my list, other than Fitzy mashup, Ken Collum, Boomsoft, WEI.com, Bradfo show, I would absolutely put the Fitzy and Ken show right in there.
Right after extra sauce.
top five marches on WEI.com. Anyone Bradfoe's involved in, March of the Penguins, when the Saints go marching in, and of course, March Madness. Gotta love it, Bradfoe.
All right.
See you, buddy.
All right. All right,
thanks for the call,
buddy. Can I just say my son is graduating today?
All right.
So I can give a shout out or whatever kind of graduation they're having in Covenant Christian Academy class of 2020. So congratulations, and we're going to head on over there and do some sort of drive-by graduation. So congratulations to my son Colby and all his buddies.
Congratulations to Robert Jr.
Sure. There you go.
Viva Colby Bradford. Congratulations,
good job, Colby.
Buddy.
See you, Rob.
All right.
Thanks, Brad.
Rob Bradford on the Harbor One Hotline from WEEI.com. And
I hadn't heard.
He said protest. How about the one in Philly today? Have you seen some of the shots of this one?
How big is it?
Oh, my God. I can't even check out my Twitter feed. I retweeted somebody else who had an overhead shot of it. It must be from a helicopter. It is, it's got to be several hundred thousand people streaming.
Are we talking like Super Bowl parade?
Yeah.
Theirs reached close to 3 million people, they estimated.
Maybe it is a million people. I don't know. Thousands and thousands. All right, let's get to what is trending. We'll get back to the calls on Goodell, the NFL, and the Black Lives Matter protests and everything else today. Kenneth Fitzy?
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Now, I'm going to read the Phase 2 reopening of Massachusetts beginning Monday, June 8th. However, got to be careful here. We had a very passionate restaurant owner who, I think he took umbrage that I said restaurants with outdoor service can open point blank. That obviously is not the case for those who have not previously had outdoor seating, right, Fitzy? Or
yes,
in particular, depends on the community in which you live. I think that was the statement. Norfolk, mm-hmm. Norfolk may not be as friendly to this. However, hotels without events can open. Home cleaning, personal services open. Youth and amateur sports, outdoor rec facilities, driving schools, flight schools, funeral homes, outdoor historical spaces. Professional sports teams, including the Bruins. The Bruins have not announced whether they're going to have anybody back at practice, but they may on Monday. Groups of six at a maximum, and it's all voluntary at this point. But you heard Rob mention Zdeno Chara. He did put out a statement. He marched in one of the protests, one of the Boston protests here over the last couple days. There's footage of that, and he declares he will continue to stand and walk with you. I have your back. Learned a lot yesterday. Had good, honest conversations. Not only did we take steps in a walk, but we made strides in learning and educating together. It doesn't stop there. He and Patrice Bergeron front and center this week in that capacity. NBA players approved the 22-team return to play. Vote of 29-1 for. Players will report July 31st to the Wide World of Sports in Orlando. It is a go. That's what's trending on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
They want folks like us to walk alongside them. So when Bill releases a statement and says, on to Seattle, and then releases a statement saying my private conversations are private, I don't think that quells the questions. Does it mean the Patriots won't play games? Does that mean Bill needs to be, dragged? No, but he's making a conscious decision to continue to keep those conversations private. The difference right now to me is if John Harbaugh doesn't make a statement, that's fine. Bruce Arians, Matt Nagy, who cares? None of them had a letter held up by Donald Trump on the eve of the 2016 election in which he ballyhooed the gracious support of the greatest coach in professional sports history, in my estimation. So if you're a player working for social justice and you know that Bill supports you by, quote unquote, allowing you to do things like that, don't you also wonder how much the support continues with Donald Trump, who works hard to undermine you as a player? That's the only reason I think that Bill would be well served by saying, look, there are things that are said to my about my players by the president that have been insulting and get in the way of progress in what they're trying to do.
That's our buddy Tom E. Curran from earlier in the program, Fitzman.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that bite. It was a great spot.
Obviously, I agree. I wrote the same column 3 days before he did, but he pretended not to be aware of that column. That's fine. Only the third time it's happened.
Hopefully that interview, as well as all 3 hours of the show, will be available at WEI.com or radio.com afterwards if you want to hear the interview in its entirety. I like the fact that
you're getting more and more distant from the mic. What are you like? How many
right
beers
here,
in are you? There you go. Better.
I haven't had one yet. Are you
you're
kidding
like
me?
Fading just... You're on the Cape, so you're obviously like half paying attention, half in the bag.
I am. Your assumptions are dangerous. Not inaccurate, but dangerous.
Well, Bridget, is he not getting more and more distant as the show goes on? It's like you've gone down the hallway. Your microphone's outside.
I have had to adjust his levels a few times, especially when he was yelling at Bradford.
I'm not even sure we're on the air now, by the way. The storm through Brighton is vicious. Are you getting any rain out
really?
There? Oh, yeah.
We lost a TV signal.
You're kidding. It was that intense?
Which may be as good as time as any to mention that how awkward was the changeover when Mark James left, Fitzy?
What happened?
He wouldn't get out of the chair. There's only a minute break now between the end of one show and the next.
And correct. I added an extra 2 minutes and
you added 2 minutes? And he wouldn't leave? And I'm like, why? What are you doing? He's like, I'm going through the browsing history and deleting. And I was like, why? He's like, I do it after every show. And he wouldn't I have no idea. I don't even. Okay. I didn't want to get into it. It was very awkward, and I barely got on the air, which would have been a disaster because then it would have been Fitzy for 3 hours.
I thought you were going to have to hip check him.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, please, by all means. Mark James, is there another human being like Mark James? You know, when you say like somebody like, oh, well, you know, that's Mark James or that's Ken Laird. There truly may not be any other human being that reminds me of Mark James. Like, there are people I've met that may remind me of you or Bridget or that are like Greg Hill. Curtis is certainly his own an island unto himself, but there is only one Mark James.
Biggest takeaway from the current interview, though, was what? I mean, in regards to Belichick's role, it is funny that Mike Giardi came out with a report of sorts that basically said, well, Belichick's actually been helping behind the scenes, players are meeting. They put off having football meetings this week. But even the fact that that was fed to Giardi is telling in and of itself. Like, Bill is not touching this. That's pretty obvious, right?
Bill's not going to touch it publicly. Behind the scenes, perhaps so. But again, don't forget he put out that great statement in 2017 talking about respecting the players' rights and decisions to do what they want to do on the field, and that he was not going to be the grown man to tell another grown man how to express himself politically or socially. So maybe he has been trying to bring people together, work for justice and equality behind the scenes, help the players find their voice, be comfortable without, completely blowing up their spot or their futures and their careers. But that's the thing, like Belichick, we never hear anything that he does. And why now, though I like what you wrote and what Tom said earlier in the interview here with us, it would take a massive
it would be such
a shocker for Belichick to come out and say, I realize that President Trump's words have been divisive at times. I don't even know why we're like, this is supposed to be about Black Lives Matter, not about Donald Trump. But
well,
yet
Trump's
again,
getting in the way of Black Lives Matter. He forcefully removed people from Lafayette Square to get to a church and hold a Bible up this week. I mean,
I know. I believe me, I was just as horrified when I saw the images of the rubber bullet marks on people's knees, calves, and faces. I mean, it was awful.
And even if you don't believe...
We tear gassed our own people, for God's sakes. What
okay,
is this?
Thank you.
What is this? Iraq?
Now, you and I are not Trump fans. Even if you don't feel Belichick should address the Trump quotient of it, to stay silent on the protesting part of it,
right
now is taking a side. That is, even Goodell has been forced into speaking out about it. So, not every coach has done it. I guess I don't. But even Elway, who's a Trump guy, had a statement on it. I would expect Belichick at some point is going to be forced to, as you say, revisit the statement he gave in 2017 about the unity of respecting everybody's.
Jesus, the fact that.
But then he'll be panned for that.
The fact that we are so polarized that, everybody knows that negotiations, that compromises, that treaties, that contracts, everything is all about finding your way to the gray. Now, whether or not the gray benefits you or benefits the party in opposition that you're working with, I full well understand that that's the way you have to work. You have to be able to meet people in the middle, or you have to make certain concessions. That's how negotiations go. That's how things get done. And to have to treat everything like a battle, like a war, like some sort of game where there can only be a winner and a loser, not only flies in the face of everything logical, Ken, but is only going to lead us down a greater path of ruin and self-destruction. And I hate that we start hearing that from on high, from the person in the highest elected office in the country. You even heard Greg Hill this week say, and I don't want to speak to Greg's politics. They are his own. I don't tell another man what to wear, how to parent, who to vote for, whatever. But even he at one point this week was like, I don't know if I can support this anymore. And of course, what happened? Here comes the text line marching in like, oh, you're a lady. Put on your skirt. You just lost half your audience. Like if there's a ringing in your ears that allows you to hear only what you want to hear, then your ears aren't open and you're not ready for a conversation in the first place.
Wayne in South Boston is up next on Ken and Fitzy.
My
Hi,
God.
Wayne.
Thank God. Wayne, what's
Thank
up?
God. What's up, Fitzy? What's going on? Listen, I've been listening to this for an hour. You guys have me on hold for an hour, so I've heard a lot of this. I just want to say, as a U.S. Marine veteran who served this country and been in two wars, Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't think anybody should be kneeling when the national anthem is being played, okay? Unless you put your life on the line for this country, fought, you should not be getting on your kneeling down anytime, okay? That is the United States anthem. That is for a reason. Lots of guys fought for it and died for it, so you people will watch a football game, okay? So respect it. That's what I want to say. And I also want to say, with all this pandering going on, because there's a lot of pandering going on each side, like Marty Walsh telling all white people to shut up and listen. Hey, Marty, I don't know who the hell you think you are and all your pandering so you can get another think you're going to be the mayor again. But you shut the hell up, buddy, okay? You take a knee. You want to take a knee? You take a knee. The only thing I take knees for is when I pray to my Lord God every day. That's when I take a knee. What I wanted to be said. What happened was a tragedy, okay? And like I said, Fitzy, you mark my words, this was personal. There was something going on between those two guys because they knew each other. They were both bouncers. One worked on the outside and one worked on the inside. So you're not going to tell me that they didn't know each other. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, Wayne, I have long believed that if you are looking to subdue somebody, if you are looking to get them to bend to your will, no matter the size of the person or what you think they may be hopped up on or might be coursing through their system, when you have other armed men around you, there is no reason in God's
will.
At the five minute mark when the guy is almost unconscious, I think you've either proved your point or gotten him to submit enough that you can take him downtown. It was like an execution, Wayne.
I'm telling you, it was personal. You mark my words, it's going to come out. When he goes to the court or whatever, it's going to come out that something was going on between them two guys, and that guy took it out and that cop did it because he wanted to do it. You know what I mean? It was personal. It wasn't just because he was a cop. You know what I mean? There's something going on, and it hasn't come out yet, but it will come out. It will come out. Something personal was going on between them two guys. I guarantee you that.
Wayne, would you stop watching the NFL if players kneel this fall?
Well, what I'm gonna say is, I guarantee you this too. You mark my words, Roger Goodell, one of the biggest. He always turns it on whatever curve it is. He turns. I guarantee you guys, when that revenue starts falling and it starts going down low, right, and people stop showing up to those games or stop watching those games, I guarantee you, Roger Goodell is gonna come out and say this totally different thing and say, well, we can't do this anymore because remember, cash is king. And no matter what, when these guys start losing their money, these owners start losing their money, they're going to go to Goodell and say, hey, no more. We can't do this. You know what I mean? We've done it long enough. Let's do it. We can't do it because they're going to lose a lot of money. Believe me, people are not going to show up or come to these games when you start doing that, when you start disrespecting the American flag.
Thanks for the call, Wayne. I disagree with Wayne. I think that things are different this time around. Obviously, money was the big driving factor in that last time. Players were afraid they were going to lose their jobs. The players now have momentum and I don't want to say the majority of the country on their side, but maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that factors in. But they wouldn't. I think there would be a revolt. They would now. I don't think you're going to lose your athletes if you don't let them protest the way they want.
Correct. And listen, when it comes to a guy like Wayne, who's a regular caller, who's been a fan for years, and who I appreciate. I love his passion. I agree with him wholeheartedly on sports. He's a great part of our Saturday show and somebody I'm glad to have in my corner. At the same time, I don't have to necessarily agree. I respect and I understand and appreciate why Wayne would say he wouldn't take a knee. He has fought for his country. That's what it means to him. It's more than symbolic. It's physical. And he has a very visceral response to it. And I respect that. I'm not taking a knee because this is not my protest. I would walk in solidarity with people who I believe need my support. But I'm not going to. This is not for me to take a knee. But I can also appreciate why they would. And I believe that they're allowed to because that's the freedom that people fought for and protected in the first place. And it's okay to, it's okay to understand both and to have differing opinions on the subject. This is what leads to discourse and hopefully can change.
Let's go to Ben in Connecticut. Hi, Ben.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
It's a tough topic to be talking about. I give you kudos for talking about it. It's important. I respectfully disagree with a couple of previous callers. In terms of, you know, just that, you know, if you want, do it once. In terms of kneeling during the national anthem, I don't kneel during the national anthem, but I also see, I also respect those who do, and they're right. And that's truly understanding our rights. Mm-hmm. And I really disagree with those that put on patriotism, like, I'm more American than you. Stuff. And I think that's the beginning of the end of dialogue. And yep. I think that the situation that happened in Minnesota, along with the other item with the young gentleman jogging, the whole issue is it's systematic. It's not only that these tragedies happen, they're one off. They're one off, but there's another one, there's another one, there's another one. And none of that would have come to light unless someone got their hands on some type of video.
Right.
And that's the big issue. That's why so many people have come out. And this is a primal scream, in my view. This is like years and years of pent-up situations that have been kind of tampered down because someone said, well, you're not really American if you're going against the culture type of thing. And just had it. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think you're seeing other people get it, and I think the situation with Drew Brees, you know, to put a sports perspective on it, you know, Drew Brees came out and said, you kneel with the flag, I'm against you, and, you know, most of us, I don't kneel for the national anthem either, but, you know, I understand those who do, and I'll you know, respect those who do,
good.
And I think that we need to really realize that.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Cry for help is a great way to phrase it. I mean,
the primal scream. That was like my favorite phrasing of the day as well. I think, Ken, the best we can hope for right now, as we want to forget about returning to like normalcy, as we just want to move on in a way that doesn't placate, but rather satisfies people that the emotional, the racial, the legal, the familial playing fields have been leveled so that we're all on the same ground and we're all treated respectfully under the same flag that we all love and respect. You know, it has to be finding a way to turn a negative into a positive. Like, you know, every Saturday I have to work with you, but I get a chance to be on WEI. So you make a negative. You know what I mean? You have to find. So the death of George Floyd is a tragedy, is an unspeakable tragedy that should nauseate us forever because we saw it happen. We can only hope that greater justice will be served one day. The protests. Drew Brees is a perfect example. Our pal, I know Curtis loves to bust the chops of, Jim Hackett, wrote a great piece about trying to turn the negative into a positive on EEI.com this week with the Drew Brees thing. Yeah, he screwed up. I think he understands how far he went and how he incidentally lit a fire under his speech when he wanted to just make what he thought was a patriotic and unifying point. Just don't be afraid to say what's on your mind. But if you do and someone disagrees, be ready to discuss it in hopes that you can take a negative and make it a positive. A
couple final thoughts on Ken and Fitzy coming up. This is Sports Radio WEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, another Ken and Fitzy almost in the books. 55th birthday for Cam Neely today, Nick. So
happy birthday to Cam Neely, one of the greatest goal scorers in Bruins history, and a damn fine president of hockey operations at that too.
The also the uh, what, 76th anniversary of D-Day, the Normandy invasions in World War II. If you were 21 years old, a soldier that day, you'd be 97 now. That's amazing to think about. There are fewer than 1,000 D-Day vets, American D-Day vets, still alive today. So that number is dwindling, but unbelievable. Day in American history, 76 years ago today. You're going to be off Monday, Tuesday, right?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? Outdoor dining or what's happening?
It's my youngest son's birthday on Monday, and I've got some family at a social distance in town. So we're just going to take a little time to ourselves and celebrate the fact that my little boy Sawyer is turning 3 on Monday.
You're giving Wiggy an extra day in the chair this week, because that's a bad precedent to set. You realize that.
Well, listen, I'll just have to come back. I'll have to bring more, quote, fire, as the kid said earlier.
It was
earlier.
A good week for you.
You know what? I feel like I may have found, it only took me a year to figure out how to play the Greg Hill algorithm. Real quick, Ken, I did want to speak also, thank you for saying that. I did want to say we had somebody hit us up on the old Twitter machine, Kiki Oxley. In a town like Haverhill, where she is, you can contact your town and tell them what you need to do to have outdoor seating if you didn't previously have it. Different rules for alcohol. It's possible even to do it in your parking lot. You just have to follow the rules to be permitted. So if you have a restaurant and you'd like to see if you could expand to outdoor seating, obviously call your town, speak to them about it, and see if they can make a special provision. Someone said you're also doing the same thing in Rhode Island as well.
Boom. There. Or call 311. Marty will get right back to you.
Just be careful, because you may appear on Curtis's segment the next morning.
Have a good couple days off. We'll talk to you Wednesday, my friend.
Great job today, Ken. Take care, everybody.
This is Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.